welcome in to this Saturday night on KABC in Los Angeles. I am Bill Jenkins. We call this next 3 hours Open Mind, a journey into a new reality. A reality that is so viewed by the most, but certainly you and I, these Saturday nights have become 2020. Something else that's going on out there. And what's going on out there is around us. We'll talk about tonight, going out of body. To go out of body. Why, everybody does that, it seems like. Everybody but Bill haven't yet achieved that. So we have brought together some old friends of ours here tonight from Minneapolis, St. Paul, from a group known as Search and Group, Search and Prove. These gentlemen, and well, the group there, do go out of body rather easily. In fact, they do a number of things which most of us may think are impossible, or perhaps you have never heard of it. Allowing the consciousness to actually leave the physical body and travel in a realm that is certainly totally unfamiliar to our physical self. And for those who have never been there, one that is very difficult to even imagine, although it is a very natural realm for us all. Let's welcome back to Open Mind, Jerry Gross. Hello, Jerry. Welcome aboard.
How are you?
I'm just fine. And on the other side of town from you is your compadre and buddy, Jim Voigt. Jim, welcome
aboard.
Hello,
how are you?
All right. People are going out of body in Southern California, I know. You people are going out of body up there, I know. Why don't you tell me, what is, we call it the out-of-body experience or going out of body. Let's assume for the moment, if we may, gentlemen, that nobody knows what we're talking about. Explain the phenomenon, would you please? Jerry, you go ahead.
Okay, I'll go take it. Out-of-body is nothing more than you leave the body.
What do you say, you leave the body? Who leaves the body?
The real you.
Because I consider myself, whenever you say you, I think of my body as me.
That's where you gotta separate it.
I'm
all
just
your
being
body
devil's advocate
here. A vehicle, put it, that carries your astral body or your soul, whatever you want to carry it around on this earth plane.
Our spirit?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you learn or if you wanna, and you do every night, you get out of this body and you go traveling around. And there is quite a few people like Jim and myself, and I know a lot of them that can do this at will when they want to.
Do you go out of body?
They have to go into the sleep state in order to leave. They can do it in the while they're awake.
Do you go out of body at will, Jerry?
Yes. Yeah, yes, I do, Bill. What I can do, I can sit down in a chair and just get myself more in a relaxing state and just pull myself right out.
What about you, Jim? Can you do that?
Not all the time. I find that I can get out of the body the easiest early in the morning, generally between 5 and 8 o'clock in the morning. In fact, this is where I practice the most. What I do is I get up out of bed about that time and I go sit in a chair. And I'm still relaxed from the night's sleep, and I find it easiest to get out that way.
Well, you know, the last time you were on, and I failed to mention this to you in our pre-talks before tonight's show, but I thought it would be a grand experiment. And I put it to you now, and you can say no, it's perfectly all right, because there was absolutely no preparation. This whole thing came to my mind. If one of you, is it capable for you to, you're in St. Paul, Minnesota, for you to come out about it, come here to the studio, describe it, and jump back, and then get back on the phone and tell us about it. Is that asking too much?
Well, for me, it's asking too much.
I know it's not early in the morning. What about you, Jerry?
Let's talk for a while and let me get relaxed a little bit, huh?
You want to give it a try?
I'll give it a try later on.
You've never been to Los Angeles?
No.
You've certainly never been to the studios of KABC?
No.
We personally have never met?
No.
You don't know what I look like?
No, I don't.
And you certainly don't know what I'm wearing. And So if you could give us some kind of a description of what you find when you get to this complex known as KABC Radio and the Talk Radio Network, I think that would be just fascinating. Now, you're not really required to do that because I, honestly, folks, and I think both of you guys, I just sprung that on you, right?
That's correct. The difficulty with projecting out of the body, at least when you start practicing this, is you have to learn to be able to control your sleep state.
Yeah.
Most people who start practicing will automatically fall asleep before they leave the body. And the difficulty in coming out there tonight, it would be equivalent to, at least for myself, would be like having a room full of people all being quiet as they're sitting around your bed watching you try to go to sleep. Of course, you'd never get to sleep.
Depends on who the people are.
Unless you're really tired.
Yeah. You came to see me at my house one time, didn't you, Jim, in the out-of-body state?
Yeah, that goes back a year or maybe a year and a half ago. And I had it in my mind over a period of months that I wanted to get out there. And I found myself out there before I even knew it. What happened to me is I was out of the body, and all of a sudden, I was lifted into the air so that I could see the curvature of the earth. And this has happened before, where all of a sudden you have kind of a force on you.
Mm-hmm.
And this force is your spirit guide who's taking you places. And the next thing I knew, I was dropping down, and I found myself in a house. And it startled me a little bit because I didn't know just whose house I was in. So I walked around a little bit, and lo and behold, there's a fellow. And the thought immediately came to me that this is Bill Jenkins. And so I said, "You're Bill, aren't you?" And you said, "Yeah." And we were in a room, and there was a woman in the room also. And I didn't know who she was, but from talking to you later on sometime, you thought it was probably your wife. And what I did is...
I hope it was. No, actually, it was a friend of ours, because as you related the conversation that we had and the description of the woman...
Okay.
It was a woman who was a very good friend of my wife, and I remember the occasion, in fact.
And what I did to try to get you to remember is I pinched your left arm, and I said, "Now remember this."
I jumped out of body and communed with you, is that right?
Well, remember, you're out of the body every night, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah, but, I mean, my out-of-body being was talking to you while my physical being was going on talking to the lady was Marie.
Either that or you were sleeping.
Hmm.
I didn't see your physical body.
Oh, okay. Now you got me confused. But that's all right. I do remember the description you gave. I remember the occasion. So you can do that, but maybe necessarily all at your control.
That's the biggest part, is once you're, the first difficulty is learning to get out of the body, and after that, you're learning to control yourself,
mm-hmm.
To go different places that you want to go, and part of that control problem is linked with any fear, because let's say if you go someplace at a high rate of speed, that in itself might cause a new person to get a little bit nervous.
You do move at high rates of speed.
Sometimes you can go at a very high rate of speed, yes.
We're not talking 100 miles an hour. We're talking a high rate of speed.
We're talking a high rate of speed.
Why would anyone want to separate their physical and spiritual being and leave their physical being in a chair or on a bed or wherever and allow their consciousness or their soul or their spiritual being, whatever you may want to call it, their life force, to explore the cosmos?
Jim, you want to take that?
Either one of you.
I would say that the reason you want to do this is because you find out how the universe is created. We wake up in the morning and we do our daily duties, and we think, in a sense, that the whole universe is physical. But when you get out of the body, you find out that there's another part of the universe that is not physical. And so, in a sense, when you live your life without knowing how to project out of the body, you only see half of what's really going on.
There is a teeming life of non-physical life, then.
Exactly.
Or a teeming society, let's put it that way.
Right, right.
Do you get a chance to go to what the religionists would refer to as heaven and hell?
I would say that what the religions are referring to is just the next dimension.
Where the spirit lives whenever it's not in physical life.
Exactly, yeah.
Then there is, as far as you gentlemen are concerned, such a thing as reincarnation?
Well, I remember about a year ago, I finally found out the name of who I was in my last life. It took several years to find it. And I think from what Jerry and I discussed one time, he knows where he was buried in his last life. So far, we haven't gone down to visit his grave yet, but we'll probably make it one of these years.
Why would you want to do that? Is it important to know that? Or is it just a matter of curiosity?
I think it's a matter of curiosity for most people to see if something like that actually happens. And, you know, a lot of people can't go along with reincarnation, but I always look at it this way. It happened once, didn't it?
Yeah, why couldn't it happen again?
Why couldn't it happen again?
In the studies that you have done, the research that you have done by actually being there, is there a great effect upon the way we are now, granting for the moment that there is such a thing as reincarnation for purposes of this conversation, is there an effect on the life that I am living now, the personality I have, the thinking that I am, thinking processes that I employ, that has a relationship to what I was before?
Well, I know I carried some things along with me in this life that I can do that I also did in my last life. Maybe Jerry can expound on that one.
You always carry your personality and bring that along with you into this life that you left before. But the thing is, you're smarter. You know what I mean, Bill?
Yeah, you've gone from grade one to grade two.
Right.
Okay.
And a lot of times, you probably got a bad accident in the life before or mashed a leg. And you go through the next life on Earth here, and it was always seemed like you always got a little pain in that leg that you hurt in the life before.
Even though physically there's nothing the matter
nothing
with you.
Nothing the matter with you.
It's a part of your spiritual intelligence memory.
Right. It's like you have a lot of people, they go to doctors with pain, and they cannot figure out. The doctor can never find nothing wrong with them. A lot of times it is a pain that they carried over with it in an accident or...
Something like that?
In the life before.
Is there a way to get rid of that pain once you realize that that's simply a memory from a previous time?
Once you realize that, the pain will go away. Because you know what's causing it then.
Nullifying a bad memory.
Right.
Or at least dealing with it and coping with it. Nullifying it, yeah.
Is like on astral projection, you know, like I'm doing... I got a spiritual teacher I'm working with me, his name is Karama. And,
explain to me, Jerry, a spiritual teacher, if you may.
A spiritual teacher is like, somebody that comes with you through this life. They're all the body, you're in the body, and this certain soul will stay with you through your whole life.
On the spirit side, they follow you around, or at least keep tabs on you?
Keep tabs on you.
Yeah?
And
so you're never alone.
Right. And the church calls them their guardians. The churches call them the guardian angels.
I see.
Anyway, I'm doing a series of tapes on lectures from this Karama, and he dictates to me of what to write.
Is that a channeling process that you're going through then?
No. Mine's different compared to other people.
Okay.
In order for me, you know, mine comes to me like a whisper in the ear, you know?
You hear the words.
Right. In order for me to get that, to hear the words, I got to sit in the chair in my office here.
Mm-hmm.
and project out, and then move in the body real slow, so I'm half in and half out. And then I can hear what this teacher's saying to me.
So you write it down?
Right. I type it down then.
And what's the name of that teacher?
Karama.
Karama. Give our best to Karama.
But it's really amazing. I had this now, Bill, all my life, and it just amazed me that through our world here, or of the people I know, that they go through life kind of blind. Without doing this, they're going through their whole life blind, and they're relying on other people to do their thinking for them. When it comes to the spiritual part, that.
Why is it, Jerry, that so many of us don't have a conscious memory of this other existence that, according to the two of you, and certainly to many millions of others?
You got it. The only thing you got to do is bring it back. See, when we were brought into this, when we come into the physical world, this life here, we'll see, that when we were 1 year old, we were in and out of the body all the time when the body was an infant.
Babies pop in and out all the time.
All the time. They're mostly out. Only come back in was when the body got to be nourished and waking up.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a year later, you begin to sense stuff around you. The mother's love starts taking over.
Mm-hmm.
And you become more in the material. And what happens is that the physical mind starts developing then.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that is there is in the subconscious. And as you grow older, you keep shoving it back farther and farther.
In other words, the weight of living in this world that we're in takes precedence in our processes, and we forget this other world that we were living in.
Where we came from.
We don't have room for that, but that can be turned up under different processes.
Right, and what the main thing is to do is we have to learn how to bring our subconscious out more while we're awake instead of just when we're asleep. See, when the physical mind goes to sleep, then the subconscious takes over.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when all the action starts in. But you got to learn to bring the subconscious out while the physical is awake, and the action will happen when you're well aware of it yourself in this world, see.
So while we're awake and conscious, we're dealing with physical things ordinarily.
Right.
And whenever we're in an altered state of consciousness, which sleep is, then we're running around doing other things, and the two seem to have some sort of a line of separation as far as our conscious memory is concerned.
Right.
But you can cross that veil and get over it. And learn a lot of things that are quite valuable to you. Tonight, it's Open Mind, and I'm Bill Jenkins. And with me, speaking on a conference line from St. Paul, Minnesota, is Jerry Gross and Jim Voigt. They are with a group there which has done an awful lot of extensive work and study in this phenomenon known as the out-of-body experience. And I'd like to hear from you and your questions about the many things that they have to offer. And challenge them a little bit later, if it's all right, and if you think you can do it. Jerry may come visit us here in the studio in Los Angeles, and this is something I just popped on in front. I didn't set this up with you guys, and it's all right if you want to back out on that one, because it is asking a lot. But we'll see if that can happen. They're very proficient at this particular phenomenon. We'll be back in just a moment. I have fascinating questions to ask you, and if I can just kind of recap some of the things we have discussed in the past, that there are two basic areas that you can travel in the out-of-body state on this plane, the earth plane, or the physical plane, which we would travel in as physical beings anyway, but you can transcend into the other side, the realm of the spiritual. What is it like over there?
Depends upon where you want to go, Bill.
All right.
You can go to the first and second plane of the spiritual, and it's not too nice of a place.
Would that be equivalent to the hell that we read about in the Bible?
Right, but it's not like there's no brimstone and fire there.
Did the Apostle Paul lie to us? Or was that just some symbolism that we have taken for factual data?
Right. Now, you got to remember this. Now, we all are part the creator.
Mm-hmm.
We're part of, and he can create, or the creator can create, and we're part of the creator, so we can create. All right, now let's say I'm brought up a real strict up Christian of brimstone and fire, and I get bad. Now, I figured I have to go through that, because when I leave the body. Well, for a while, I'm going to create, I'm going to go right into that. I'm going to create it around me until I realize, hey, there's more to this than just this, you know, than brimstone and fire and come out of it.
So you're saying that when you move into the out-of-body state, the creative prowess that we have, because we are all creatures of God and like God or the creator, we can exercise that much more and actually create whatever we want to create.
That's right.
Does anyone else experience this creation of ours, or is it simply for our own amazement?
Explain that to me again.
Well, I go out of body, and I believe I've been a bad person, so I create a hell around me.
Right.
Would anyone else experience that hell, or has it just been created just for me?
Just for you.
If you were traveling with me in the out-of-body state, you wouldn't necessarily experience the hell that I had created for myself.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't experience it at all, because I didn't. You created it, I didn't.
I see.
You go even through this life, Bill, right here on Earth.
Well, we're always creating hell for ourselves in the physical plane.
Right. We're always, you know, you only are, like I always say, you only are as what you think you are.
You are what you think.
Yeah.
Even more than what you are, what you eat.
And you'd be surprised how powerful those thoughts are.
Well, thoughts are in the virtual state, and they have an enormous amount of power about them. And we do a lot of that creating even on the physical level, but it's probably more dramatic on the non-physical level.
But
where thought is actually the wings of creation anyway, isn't it?
That's right. You take that chair you're sitting in.
Well, I didn't create it, but I'm certainly glad it's here.
It had to come from a thought before it could even get a... And then on the paper, a blueprint, and then it had to be built with material things. But the first thing, it had to come from a thought.
But if you were on... in the astral level, or on the other side, the non-physical plane, if you needed a chair, you could just...
It'd be right there.
Think it into being.
Right.
Because you have the creative powers of the creator, which is a part of you.
That's right.
Now, there are levels out of the body that just look Earth-like also.
Are they?
So that when you get out, you don't have to worry that it's going to be a real strange place you're going to, but actually there's many things there that are quite familiar.
Well, is that familiarity because of our own consciousness and we're creating them to be familiar? Or are we literally exploring a different place that would be new to us?
Right. In other words, it's a different place. Except sometimes there's a little twist to it. In other words, you have a home here in the physical. Mm-hmm. And when you get out of the body, you might find that you have your home there also, but it looks a little different sometimes. You might have an added room here or there. And the reason for this would be is maybe you wouldn't be able to afford to duplicate that house that you have in the astral because of financial conditions here on Earth. And so then you would find a little bit of a difference.
You don't have financial problems on the other side, or have the bankers got into there, too?
Well, that's a good question. But, in other words, you can create that house in the astral that you want.
Oh, I see.
But the physical house may be a little bit different because of constraints here.
I know there are a lot of people that are wondering about... If we're talking about reincarnation, and you're on the other side where there are spirits that have lived here on this side, and they want to know if I will meet my mother or father or loved one over there, what really happens here? Because if reincarnation is true, your mother or father who may be on the other side has also been many mothers and many fathers, and perhaps many fathers and many mothers. How do you delineate all of those different earthly personalities that a person has, the last of which was that of your mother, let's say?
See.
When she may have been someone else's father in the life prior to that and on down the line.
Well, you got to... if I wanted to visit, let's say my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go to the astral, and my grandmother will appear to me, will come to me like she looked here on Earth, like I would remember her.
She is your grandmother, but she is also someone's mother and someone else's child.
That's right.
And then, she may have been someone else's father, right?
And then, if a couple of lives back, if they'd want to visit, she would appear to them the way she looked at that time of her life here on Earth.
So is this a creation of yours or hers, for your edification or hers?
This is a creation of hers.
To satisfy your needs.
My needs.
I did an experiment on that a couple of years ago just to see how that worked. And what I did is I wanted to go see my grandmother who died about 20 years ago. And I finally met her, and she looked to me just like she did the last time I saw her 20 years ago. And then I said to her, now, what do you look like? What did you look like when you were 15 years old? Because I kind of wanted to know, do people age here in the out-of-body condition? Or do they have control over what they look like? And she says, and after I asked her what she looked like when she was 15, she says, well, I can hardly remember that. But then, all of a sudden, all the wrinkles went away on her face, and she looked just like she did when she was 15. And before me stood a 15-year-old.
What if you had asked her, what did you look like three lifetimes ago?
Then she would have probably changed into that.
Which could have been anything.
Right.
Fascinating stuff. You ready to talk to the callers? They're beginning to line up here.
Okay.
And we haven't even given out the number. And we want you to make your questions, if you will, for these gentlemen who are proficient at the out-of-body experience. They have learned a great deal there. They have a lot to share with you about the spiritual side of life. And there is more to it than most people seem to realize. So talk to those who are involved with it, and let's find out where you're coming from. I know, as a matter of research here, that most everybody in Los Angeles, guys, seems to go out of body at night. I think we lose half the population or more. But I haven't gone yet, or at least having a conscious memory of it. So one of these days I will. That's no problem. And we'll get to our callers in just a second. Let me give you the numbers if you'd like to talk to Jerry. We're part of us. Yeah.
You know, remember last time when I talked to you when I was on the program?
Right.
We were going to get together and think of something good to come up with, kind of to prove that this actually happens.
Yes.
And I come up with an idea, see what you think of it.
Okay.
I thought would be really be a great idea within the next year, when I can get my time together and you get your time together, I'd like to come out there, you know, to be live on the show.
Well, when you can make it out here, we'll find time for you.
And what I want to do is let the callers call in, and you talk to them, and I'll be in if you got a separate room there for me, I'd like to project out and go to the caller's house and then come back, explain what their house and what they look like.
Well, I just think that's great. We were going to do that a little earlier, but a little more long distance. We could do that with a caller. Is it too much trouble for you to come St. Paul to Los Angeles in a matter of a minute or two and then come back? We could try it that way. Or is it easier for you if you're in the same
room? Well, I'd much rather come out there because...
Yeah, we're stretching you just to get to come to the studio.
I mean, that's...
All right, I tell you what. Let's do that.
How does that sound?
That sounds great to me. You let me know when you're going to be out here.
Well, I would like to make a date with you on that.
Well, let's see. We're booked into August already, so in September or October, November, somewhere along there.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
You will be out here in person.
Right.
We will put you over in Studio C.
Nice and quiet.
A nice and quiet place in there. It's the network studio. In fact, that's where we'll put you. Nice, big, comfortable. Very posh. I'll work here in little old Studio C, D, which is nice, big, and posh, and comfortable also. But you and I won't see each other, but the callers will call in, and you'll just zip out and see them, and then come back and talk to them about their surroundings. I think that would be fantastic.
That been on my mind for last year. I wanted to try that.
Now, if you can come see us before this night's over and tell us what Mr. Hurley looks like, who is our resident engineer, is keeping the kilocycles all shaved up, what David looks like, who's in with us the first night on our production coordinator duties, and myself, what I'm wearing, these strange clothes that I'm wearing, or whatever you may find and experience, I think that would be fascinating, too. We've got the gauntlet thrown down here. You ready to go to the callers? But you're on that, Jerry. Just let me know the week you can come out, and we'll put her in.
Okay.
All right. Justin, you're on.
Good evening, Bill.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Jerry and Jim.
Hello.
I've had out-of-body experiences several times, and what I wanted to ask you guys was, apparently my leaving my body is a result of narcolepsy. I'll when it happens, it's usually I'm very tired and very fatigued, and when I'm sleeping, I'll find myself suddenly my breathing is cut off, and I feel this sort of panic, as though someone who's deep underwater and trying to reach the top of the air.
Do you have a problem with narcolepsy?
Apparently, that's what's been. I've talked with several people and have had this kind of experience.
Well, have you been diagnosed?